What are we listening to, Ray?
Well, it's Illinois Jacquette.
Yeah.
Tenor Man Deluxe. I thought it was Booker T when I first heard the keyboards.
You're grooving. You're having good time there.
Illinois Jacquette. Come on, man.
Fun watching you.
You're easily amused.
Oh, we're on the air.
Yeah, we are. Yes, we are. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. It's very nice to have you with us. It is a Tuesday. It's the 5th of January, and it's just a pleasure to have you. Quick programming note, just so you know, at 11:30, we're going to be covering the NPR coverage. I use that word twice. We will be presenting NPR coverage of the president's remarks regarding gun reform. And that it will be taking place around 11:40, but we'll be going to coverage at 11:30. So just know that that will be on our radar coming up at 11:30 this morning. We're going to talk about that issue, of course, first thing this morning. But before we do, let me introduce our panel and also invite you to join us. WAMC.org/roundtable, WAMC.org/roundtable, or roundtable@WAMC.org. WAMC's Alan Shartok is in the building. Good morning, sir.
I'm always happy to be here, especially not being outside.
Yes.
It's very,
very,
cold.
Very chilly. It was zero when I went out to bring the dog out this morning.
Wow.
And then we slowly watched the temperature soar to six by the time we got here. So,
and as I said in the newscast, last check before I came on, 18 below in Lake Placid.
Yeah.
Wow. Yikes.
That's very cold.
Yeah.
Chilly, but very Argentine.
There you go.
I got it. Slow on the uptake today.
Ray Graff is here. Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Very nice to have you with us. And our Tuesday regular, and we'd have him here every day if we could.
We could.
But unfortunately, he has a job. And that is the associate editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Brr. Good morning.
Yes. Stay warm with us. Mm. So let's go to the stories at hand, and that would include what I mentioned, the story, and we touched on this yesterday, talking about the actions of the president. He had been announcing, basically wanted to check with the attorney general, and did, and then on Monday unveiled a series of new executive actions aimed at reducing gun violence and making some political headway on one of the most frustrating policy eras of President Obama's tenure. This from The Washington Post. The package, which Obama plans to announce Tuesday, again around 11:40, which will be airing, includes 10 separate provisions. One key provision would require more gun sellers, especially those who do business on the internet and at gun shows, to be licensed and would force them to conduct background checks on potential buyers. President Obama would devote $500 million in more federal funds in treating mental illness, a move that could require congressional approval and require that firearms lost in transit between a manufacturer and a seller be reported to federal authorities. At the risk of, because I realize that this is a touchy subject, but at the risk of igniting a firestorm, let me just start off by saying, is there any, I'll ask the panel, is there anything there that seems outrageous?
No, I need a little education as usual. I had always thought that, I know there are loopholes in the gun sales, you know, where they get together, you know, gun markets, but I always thought that they were required to call in and get some kind of a.
When one goes missing, you
no,
mean?
No. When somebody buys a gun at one of those.
Although
places,
I'm with you, Ray. Yeah, you would have thought that would have been on the rules.
I mean, I can't believe that they would have to have an executive action.
Yeah, we got a couple of guns missing. Anybody know?
I lost my Schmeisser submachine gun. Man. Can you help me out?
Actually, 1,300 of them were missing, and I don't know where they went.
Lou saw it Thursday.
I got it. Okay. Well,
I'm talking about the other.
I'm so sorry. I'll crawl back into my hole. All I was trying to do is ask for the kind of information that I think a lot of people
out
there.
So you're talking about background
checks. Yes. Don't really have. But let me apologize for.
No, there's no apology. Yeah, I think we were basically in the same. We have questions too about different aspects of this.
Please.
So, Mike, did you have a
answer? Background to checks. Evidently, I've learned in the last few days there's quite a few loopholes, especially when they're small group sales, like at small gun shows or perhaps over the internet. And you know, you could go on the internet and use a internet selling site like Craigslist, I guess, and I could contact you from another state, and we could, you know, close the transaction. I could send you the money and you can send me the gun. And some of that is not required to be, you know, you wouldn't have to check my background. And now they're going to want more background checks and to close some of these loopholes, because I might have sinister plans with that gun, or I might have a bad background.
Well, I mean, I think what will cause the most controversy among the gun aficionados is
the gun lobby.
And also, some people who might, for instance, sell a gun but not be a dealer. So in other words, it's a little unclear as to how many guns you have to sell before you have to go through the expensive licensing process. Loretta Lynch talked maybe one gun, in which case that's a lot of licensing. So I think that's where the controversy will be.
So that would mean, again, just to play this out, and not – going with Alan, I'm not 100% sure how the mechanics of this work. So if I went into Ray's gun shop and I wanted to buy a gun.
Right. Well, I'll vouch for your character any day. You're fine.
Thank you,
Take Ray. Whatever you want.
Thank you, Ray. then, and you're selling me one gun. Well, that's one
but
sale.
But that's a gun shop.
Okay.
You see, yeah, this is
a gray area.
Okay. Guns. So, all right. So if I go to Ray's gun tent.
You come over to my house and say, hey, can I buy a gun?
I've never been invited, but sure.
Well, I don't have a gun, so come on over.
That's good information.
Yeah, well. So,
machetes, though, so don't come over, Spain. So,
I mean, that
and
would
of course,
be,
a Doberman or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be, and then you sold me a gun. It would then, where would the background check? Is that what the question is?
It's also the licensing of sellers, and I'm not sure how much it costs to do that, but I think that that may end up, in other words, Joe Schmo sells a gun. If he has to be licensed to do that, then you have to go through those federal background checks and that licensing procedure. So maybe that will be the issue. Some of what the president is offering up, expanded money for some of these agencies that are already doing these background checks, I don't see how anybody really argues about most of that.
We've heard from James, who said, I'd read about this months ago, and I believe nothing has changed. A key provision of the SAFE Act isn't being enforced. The law prohibits the sale of assault weapons, but grandfathered in currently owned ones and required they be registered. According to the New York Daily News, I read it. It's an old folk song. I read it in the Daily News. According to the Daily News, by last September, 25,000 people registered about 45,000 of these weapons in New York. However, it is estimated there are still 1 million unregistered, therefore illegal assault weapons in our state is one of the strictest gun laws in the nation, not being fully enforced due to blowback from SAFE Act opponents. That's from Jim.
Well, even a lot of sheriffs have vowed upstate not to enforce that aspect of the law, that you own, before this law, you owned what was regarded as an assault weapon, and you basically are a scofflaw. You don't follow through and register it as required by the law, and evidently maybe 750,000 people may have done that across New York. The problem will be if in some other situation they're searching your house or you had it in your car and you get stopped for something and you have this gun and it's not registered and you didn't follow through, you could be subject to some penalty. I'm not sure what level of penalty, but it's not a big, big thing, but evidently they're not pressing people and not going around to houses and searching for guns or anything like that and requiring people to do it.
At this time.
this time.
A recent survey of more than 2,000 gun owners by Harvard University found that those who purchased their most recent firearm, about a third did not undergo a background check. Loretta Lynch says that the administration could not estimate how many more people would be affected by the new licensing provision. She said gun sales are increasingly moving online and into largely unregulated areas of the
dark web,
where illicit activities take place in hidden transactions.
Okay, so how does this help that in any way?
Well, that is a very good question, because then you get into the black market and into an economy that, we, much like the drug economy, and what do you do about that?
Now, what I said yesterday, and it goes today, too, is that I am sure that there are going to be many places that this gun stuff continues. But I want to make it clear that anything that helps, anything, is good. And, you know, it doesn't have to be all. It has to be something. And then you improve on that. And that's why he went to Loretta Lynch. I never promised you Rose Garden.
And, I beg your pardon.
And
ba-dum-bum.
Right. And that's why he went to get
Can I put in a PO for a rim shot for 2016?
We're speaking about the former U.S. prosecutor, now the Attorney General of the United States.
Yeah. Who said exactly what Alan says. She said, quote, if it does stop one act of violence, this will all be worth it. Republicans beg to differ, I think.
Okay, so here is another fact. This goes back to something that Ray and I were riffing on momentarily, and that was over the past 5 years, according to the White House, an average of 1,333 guns recovered in criminal investigations each year were traced back to a seller who claimed the weapon was missing but did not report it to authorities.
Ah, that's bad news.
Yeah, now that's disturbing.
Well, it suggests that people are selling guns illicitly, and then those guns are then used in crimes. And that's what this is trying to stop. It's making the penalty greater. It will force some people who would otherwise kind of skirt the law to take it more seriously. I don't know. There'll be a lot of people who still do it on the side. But the other aspect of this program being announced by the president today is spending $500 million on mental health.
I was just about to get to that. I think that is a very encouraging aspect to this.
Right. I think it's a good thing. It's good. This country does not spend enough money on mental health treatments. And just because we need it unrelated to the guns, it's a good thing.
Well, yeah. You know, I happen to have written maybe 1,000 pages on this for my doctoral dissertation on this very issue of community mental health centers, which President Kennedy set up, which never happened really. They happened, but they haven't happened the way that independently standing that he thought that they would. So I think that I love the idea that it is, Michael, tied to the use of guns, because I think that's something that middle-class America can support. I don't want my kid killed by an illegal gun because some person is out there who has a mental problem. And I think, therefore, if that's the way you get it done, then that's the way you get it done. Are you following? No. Ray, you look perplexed.
No. I was miles away. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, there's, some blowback, not blowback, but some clarification that mental health experts say mostly mental health people suffering from mental illness are the victims often, not the perpetrators of crimes of violence using guns. But it's going back to what you said, Alan, and what Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General, said. It might just randomly hit a lot of people who later on might have gotten their hands on guns and committed acts of violence, and they may have gotten some help along the way and won't do that.
So I'm sorry.
No, I'm fine.
So let me just real quickly make this political and say so far from the Republican candidates for president, their reaction has been swift and loud. Speaking at a Christian bookstore Monday in Boone, Iowa, Ted Cruz called the idea illegal and unconstitutional. On Sunday, Senator Marco Rubio told an audience in Raymond, New Hampshire, that Obama has now waged war on the Constitution, saying you can pass all the gun laws in the world you want. It will not stop the criminals. But Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton applauded Obama during a campaign stop in Iowa saying she would go even further as president, and White House officials remain confident that public opinion is on their side. Bernie Sanders coming out and supporting the president's actions as well.
So when Ted Cruz, can you read that quote again?
Illegal and unconstitutional.
Okay, so is he talking about the method, the executive action, or is he talking about what the president is proposing?
I think he said that the executive order, he has vowed to reverse the executive order if elected president, underscoring the fragility of any initiative that has not won congressional approval. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, please, you know, Congress, pass this law, says the president. Congress says, absolutely not. We're not going to pass any gun laws. And then he comes back and he says, okay, then I'll do it myself. And they say, you can't do it without coming to us. Catch 22.
Well, yeah, but Congress evidently does not have, does not feel that it can pass these laws.
In the minute that we have left,
yes.
The fact is every major poll shows that most people side with the president on this.
Sure.
A majority of people say that we need to do something. And yet, when you see Republican candidates now squarely going against us saying, we're not going to do it, we don't believe this is the case.
Sure. 15% of Republicans show up in primaries as opposed to the people who are being polled by the American public.
Well, this gets back to my question. Is the main complaint among especially the candidates about the method or the actual message?
Yes and
I think it's the message as well.
That's right. It's yes and yes. There's an amendment to the Constitution which, you know, protects guns, and the right-wing Supreme Court supported it.
By the way, the president says he will fully ensure the continued
legality of
the Second Amendment. So he says he's going to ensure those rights.
Sure.
We'll see. 11:30 today, WAMC.
You can also write to us at WAMC.org.
And many people have, by the way.
And we will get to those letters and much more after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok is here, Ray Graff, Mike Spain, and we welcome your responses. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And we have several, which Alan will go through now.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Eric says, the unspoken truth is that you can't stop unstable people or zealots from murdering people unless they broadcast their intentions beforehand. Actions on guns will not stop mass shootings. The real problem is endemic handgun violence, and nothing is being done about that, and it is not used as the talking point to advocate for gun restrictions. Even if guns were outlawed tomorrow, the U.S. has so many, it would take decades to reduce the guns in circulation. We're in trouble. That from Eric. Well, you got to try is my answer. You got to do something.
Also, Australia did it, and Great Britain did it.
You know, certainly, just very quickly, I know that, and we touched on this, but I know that, of course, the mass shootings are really one of the motivators here. However, in the president's action, it very much, because of the mental health, is dealing with suicide and individual gun owners as well. It isn't just in domestic violence as well as mental health and suicides, and then, of course, the criminal aspect.
Right. Well, Brian says, congratulations on the free morning.
Word.
Got you to say, No, you didn't.
You didn't.
Didn't fool me. Okay.
Ronald Schlump.
And Tom says,
we still have 20 minutes, by the way.
Oh, but yeah, it's coming.
Tom says, being against gun control is like being against traffic lights. Okay, said Brian. And Reed says, Reed Gun Sales, I am not an auto dealer. If I sell my car to my neighbor's kid, I have to register the sale, and the government keeps track of the change of ownership. How does that make sense, but somehow registering a similar gun transaction is seen by some as an onerous burden?
Well, if you sell your car, you're not registering as a car dealer. You sign over the title.
No, but I think his point is excellent, Raymond, for whatever it's worth,
right.
Cars can do tremendous injury to people.
That's a good
and
point.
And so can guns.
Yeah, I've seen you drive. Absolutely.
Well, I expect that that kind of thing has no place on our show.
All right, sir.
So
save
then,
it for the fun drive?
This is a it seems like a rehearsal of what's going on in a month. 1-800-323.
Margie says, I find it interesting that there is so much resistance to creating a safer culture around guns, which can be so lethal, and yet there is, in capital letters, is so much red tape and regulation around cannabis, which, as far as I know, has never killed anyone. Thanks for your great show, Margie.
Hmm.
Okay. Joseph says, Ray's position that Obama's effort won't help is analogous to failing to instruct patients to stop smoking because it won't prevent all cancers. That's from Joe.
Okay.
I'm not sure I see the connection there.
It's all right.
What'd you say? You don't see the connection?
To what Ray was saying?
Yeah.
That's okay. I see the point. That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay. Well, if Ray sees it, that's good.
Let's let it roll.
All right. Let it roll. Okay. Okay. Let's see here. Dear Roundtable, we actually have hand-grade grenade control everywhere in America, and nobody complains about it. We have anthrax control, too, and nobody complains about that either. If we gave every man, woman, and child a stick of dynamite with training, with a license, with a background check, and a waiting period, how long would it be before the headlines would be about explosions? So it is with guns.
Okay.
Something to think about. Jerry says, hi, panel. Remember that each state has their own laws, so what might not be necessary in one state may be necessary in another, which already has that gun law. Regulation must be national for them to work. Well, I think there certainly is a point about that, and I think
Absolutely.
That's why we're having a press conference today.
The problem is they can't have a national database. They can't keep statistics about the impact of firearms on public health because Congress won't let them.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of this is also has a lot of hurdles ahead of it.
Do you have any not that anybody cares, Mike, but do you have any idea how angry their recalcitrance to do anything gets me personally? I mean, I'm furious about this, and because I think people's lives get lost because they're sitting there worried about their own damned careers and passing through a Republican primary, and it's disgusting.
Paul Ryan, before he even heard any details, said, I'm against it, you know, and you think of him as being a reasonable voice.
Well, but it's just infuriating is my point. Okay. Michael says, my president is going to put the Republicans in a position to oppose these sensible measures. A great move. Suicide for the Republican presidential candidates. Well, I talked about strategy here, and I think he's doing it because it's the right thing. And I love the fact that he met with Elizabeth Estes, a wonderful congresswoman from Northwest Connecticut, who's on the congressional corner all the time talking about this, and Senator Murphy and everybody else, and he briefed them because can you imagine what it's like to represent that district where all those beautiful little children got wiped out? I mean, it's got to be more than anybody should be asked to handle. Scott says, taking care of the homeless is important. However, is the governor's shelter mandate an unfunded mandate? Cuomo and Obama both seem out of control, acting like dictators. Allen favors what they want to accomplish. But at what cost to democracy? That's a capital D. Actually, it would not be a capital D, right? Democracy would be small d in this case.
Well, people use capital letters to emphasize the word sometimes.
Yeah. Like WTF in all caps.
Right.
You know?
The courts and legislative bodies need to clip their wings, and that's from Scott. Johanna says, I would like to call out gun manufacturers. The easiest way to control the number of guns in the hands of people is to control their production.
Well, they're doing very well, the gun manufacturers, because every time there's even talk of anything like this, or there's a mass slaying and there's talk of controlling guns with laws, sales boom, and they're booming now.
Oh, boy, they really are. Sales. Everybody wants to get their gun before the...
So there's really some enormous financial benefit to gun manufacturers when someone takes their product and goes and kills a bunch of people. I mean, isn't that pretty pathetic?
Boy.
That's the truth.
That's something to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we have lovely chairs in here. Lovely chairs in here. And they're very nice. They're handsome. They're perfect for the studio. But the fact is, if I wanted to go get a really special chair, what would it cost me, Mike?
Oh, at least $1,000 or $1,200.
Really?
Really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a nice comfy chair with leather and brass fixings, mahogany.
What if I've been indicted?
Well, it depends on where that chair is, Joe. And, of course, we're talking about the story that came out from Casey Seil, our state editor, that says senators who lost their seats get to keep their chairs.
Right.
Former state senator Dean Skelost, Tom Libous, John Sampson have all taken advantage of a long-standing tradition that allows legislators to buy their elegant brass and leather Senate chairs for the low price of $25. It was, it's kind of an honor after a long-term lawmaker retires, they get to take the chair with them. And that's
by the way, Mike, has been going on in the United States Congress for a long, long time. I remember being in one congressman's house in Egremont, Massachusetts, and seeing this very formidable chair, and they get to take the chairs. They get to take the chairs with them. They get to get their health.
It's an academic thing, too, right?
What do you mean? Could I take my chair from SUNY?
Yeah, well, don't they like, different though? Like their actual chairs, because I see those sometimes that are in offices where somebody's been given a chair and then that they've got as being a president.
I must have missed
something.
The memo on that.
Okay, all right. I like
the quote Casey called Blair Horner, our good friend at the New York Public Interest Research Group, and he says, "Wow." He says, it's amazing that convicted felons should get a discount on a fine leather chair.
Well,
only in Albany, right?
Well, it is used.
Right, and you plug it in. It's an electric chair. So
that's funny, Ray. But what I want to know is, you know, these are big chairs, and whether they fit in a cell or not.
In any event, what Casey's referring to is that they are taking advantage of this option, but they're also taking advantage of another option to them, and that is to get their $90,000 a year
pension.
Plus pension.
After they've been convicted of felonies.
After they're convicted of felonies. And it brings to mind the effort that a lot of people are pushing that lawmakers who and public officials who are committing crimes in their line of duty and enriching themselves should lose their pension.
Do you find as a newspaper editor, do you find that a story like this tends to make people madder than like larger stories?
Isn't that great? They can read
about this legislator was indicted, this legislator is going to jail, and then you find out that somebody's getting $25 for a $1,200 chair, and steam comes out.
Well, everybody likes chairs. Commonality there.
Well, perhaps, Joe, that at least after you've been convicted of a crime that you allege, that you
give up your chair.
Right, that you give up your chair, that you lose that right to take your chair with you. It just seems, since they can't take your pension away because it's guaranteed under the state constitution, at least don't let you take a chair.
Well, it seems
a chair,
if you've already, in some cases, screwed the taxpayers for a couple million dollars, you know, what's 25 more bucks?
It's another way of looking at
it. Well, if you're going to get a $90,000 pension, at least make them pay full ride, $1,200 for the chair, right?
And in academia, we have, I can't help myself, I'm sorry.
I want to say that it was my estimate of $1,200. It could be more.
Okay. Oh, I'm sure it's more. It's more. But I was just going to say, in academy, which you mentioned before, maybe what you were thinking of was distinguished chairs. You know, people have distinguished chairs.
That's right. Those are honorary titles, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys have a distinguished couch in your office.
Four-legged seat.
All right. Well, let's, before we go any further, take a break, and we'll come back and hit some other topics as well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Lake George Kayak Company, a kayak, canoe, and stand-up paddleboard center providing sales, rentals, and lessons. LakeGeorgeKayak.com. Bullard McLeod and Associates, Albany, New York, for 30 years offering financial planning and investment management services that focus on client objectives and are designed to preserve and grow wealth. bma-inc.net. And Union College Concert Series presenting cellist David Finkel and pianist Wu Han. The duo performs a program of cello and piano works from throughout Europe. January 10th, 3 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We welcome your thoughts, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's quickly talk about the situation going on in Oregon. We mentioned this yesterday, and it is the response officially cautious is what is being said. One of the things when we should also mention that when we talked about this issue yesterday, our listeners certainly were very quick to making the comment that if this were a young black male, or that this situation would be handled in a much different way than it is currently being handled. That is something that the New York Times looked at, saying, "What if Oregon protesters were black or Muslim?" That debate ensues. The Oregon protest at a federal wildlife refuge has ignited an already intense debate on social media about policing, race, and terrorism. On social media, that led quickly to questions about a double standard, particularly from liberals and the left, who asked, what if the armed men were Muslim or black? They predicted the authorities would have been more forceful and not take the cautious approach which is being taken currently.
Sounds reasonable to me, that objection.
I think that a more interesting parallel here is to the Occupy movement. In
some
other words, this
that,
is civil disobedience to some extent. Now, this is an unoccupied, at this time, federal building sort of in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Now, the Occupy movement sort of occupied parks
in urban areas.
Well-traveled areas. There was a certain amount of caution exercised with regard to them, and even in prosecuting later, locally.
Yeah. There's a difference here. I've heard that argument. There's some parallels.
But the big
difference is that these guys were convicted of crimes that they're rallying around. They started fires on federal land, allegedly to clear brush, but the government is saying it was to hide the fact they'd been out poaching deer. And, they're guilty of crimes, and they have guns. Now, they haven't shot at the federal authorities, but they're carrying guns. That makes it a little different.
You're right.
If they had guns down
is...
on Wall Street, Occupy
right.
Wall Street, they'd have cleaned – New York City cops would have ended that in minutes.
However, I think there can be a further parallel with Occupy in that there are certainly elements of the Occupy movement that were not there originally and for the purpose that they originally started. There were those outsiders and outliers who came in and wanted to stir up trouble to their own end.
These guys are anarchists. I mean, and some anarchists did get involved in some of the previously peaceful protests that have happened against war, against economic injustice, et cetera. But the original protesters were peaceable and nonviolent. Here, these guys are carrying guns. They don't like the federal government's policy and the way that they manage land resources. And that's a good argument. You should debate it, and they should get Congress going on it or advocate for it. But, that doesn't justify taking over a federal building and occupying it for however long it takes.
And you're right. It'll only take one nitwit who fires one shot whole thing to change. I mean, one guy
fires
a shot and it's all parallel stop. Yeah. However, the backstory that you're not seeing in some of the press is that the Hammonds, I believe, were prosecuted as under terrorism statutes for this fire. And certainly the motives for the fire are unclear. The prosecutors say they did this for one reason.
Well, they were convicted of fire.
Right, and they served time.
Yeah.
But now
they want more time.
They want more time. So Alan goes in and steals six sprouts from the co-op, and he does 6 months' time, and he gets out. And then they say, that's not enough. You're going back.
Well, prosecutors and the government can appeal sentencing and ask for a stiffer sentence. And they did.
I never steal sprouts.
It was an example.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You
so
go into the co-op, you see some alfalfa you like, you swipe it, you do 6 months. And then they say, that's not enough for this guy.
Now you're really talking when you're talking alfalfa.
You like that stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It shows.
Oh, yeah. No.
These guys are letting their cattle graze on your land, Ray, eating your grass.
No, but listen, this whole thing started quite
without permission.
Our brilliant
it's
moderator,
pretty outrageous.
Our brilliant moderator, Joe, brought up the idea of whether there was equal-handed justice going on here. That if you were black or brown, you might be held to a different standard than the caution which is being used with these people. And I suspect it's such a small group that that's part of it. But when you're talking about, you know, Baltimore or the idea that a downtown could get wiped out, there's a different perspective that comes to how authorities treat the seriousness of the subject. In other words, with these guys, you take out after them, and I think what happens is you build their movement for them.
Well, there's certainly politics do play into this, and if they now when Clive Bundy in Utah was occupying land, they let him pretty much walk away. And some people are saying that has encouraged people to say, "See, we got in the government's face and they let us go," and encouraged
yeah, right.
them to do the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think Ruby Ridge and Waco, certainly, if you have armed
yes.
people, you don't want to start the conflagration. Mm-hmm. And so there is a certain amount of caution on the part of the feds. But I think if it goes on much longer. But, you know, it's funny. What's reported in the New York Times is the locals say, well, you get out. You're not us. You're not helping our county or anything to do with us. Could you leave now?
Well, Robert says, Ray, the Occupy movement was never armed. There's no comparison between them and these secessionists who threaten violence to anybody who gets in their way. And that's from Bob.
Secessionists. Well, they also claim that they're defending the Constitution. There's a contradiction there.
And Tom says, don't forget, Eamon Bundy still owes the government $500,000 plus, might be a reason for his protest.
Well, they say they were persecuted because the feds wanted their land to expand the bird refuge.
And Paul says a better comparison would be the occupation of Alcatraz by the AIM, Native American Armed Movement. Just reading them.
Okay.
And Joseph says, armed Occupy movement, grasping for straws? How lame to compare armed occupation of a federal facility, defiance of law enforcement. You write them, we read them. And J. Ray says, has the federal government been involved in response to the rolling tragic floods along the Mississippi during the month of January? And John says, okay, now that's really off topic.
Well, going back to that, yes, of course. FEMA's been there.
Sure, of course.
It's a federal disaster was declared.
It has.
You know.
Yeah.
When we only have about 3 minutes left, let's talk about the coach of the New York Giants announced yesterday that he was stepping down after, 15 years? Or 12 with
12.
The team. 12 with the team, right? And so after 12 years and is leaving and said that he had a very good relation with the Maras, with the family, with the team, and just felt it was somebody else's time and pretty much apologized for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Not his fault. Not entirely his fault.
Not entirely
Vast
his fault.
Vast number of injuries, some questionable drafts.
And he's done rather well in the past, right?
Oh, I mean, yes. A good man and a good coach.
He's he's produced.
Now, do we have a sense that he will go elsewhere or is he done?
Well, he's how old, 69?
69, but I think he still has his ear open for offers. And he may get one. You never know.
Why not?
He's
he's a successful.
But he's a great coach. I mean, he is one of the great.
Yeah.
Football
and all of those football teams that won.
Have we said his name yet?
Tom Coughlin.
Yes.
Tom Coughlin, the former New York Giants coach, who was a presence here, certainly in Albany for many, many summers during his reign.
A lot of affection for him here in Albany when the New York Giants would do their summer training at the University.
They don't do that
Albany.
Anymore?
No, they don't. They do it
in
New
Jersey.
Well,
that was their mistake, obviously.
Yeah, but
that's where they went wrong.
We ran a photo gallery on our website today, memories of Tom Coughlin when he was at UAlbany, and I think half the pictures have him and Jerry Jennings hugging each other. That's an exaggeration.
And
there
wasn't
are
he the commissioner of the also of the prison system?
No, that was another.
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, good. You know, good job, Tom. And what an honorable way he stepped out. I think The Giants sure didn't want to fire him. He had a year to go on the contract.
The players loved him. I mean, Eli Manning, he had tears in his eyes when he was talking about losing him.
Coach.
You consider the sort of tough way he started his tenure and some of the players not all that fond of him in the beginning, but he adapted a little bit. The players bought in, and it worked out well.
He was a real giant.
One of the any other takeaways from what is always affectionately called Black Monday?
Oh boy,
meaning a lot of jobs open
the Monday after.
Will they dip into the college coaches, Ray? Or
I hope not.
Has anybody looked
Bill
it up?
Bill Cowher. I think they got to entice Bill Cowher out of retirement.
And how's it started today?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the stock market, Black Monday.
Oh, no, we're talking about the coaches being fired the first Monday after the season.
After the regular season ends. It's a common practice to relieve their coaches.
Certainly that's much more important than the fact that pensions all over the United States on a Black Monday are being wiped out and people
How is the stock market doing so far today?
Well, I think it is rebounding. Number one, yes, and it's
good thing no one sold yesterday.
Yes, and it wasn't a. No, we weren't saying one was over the other. No. We were just happened to be
I'm
talking about
I'm saying one was over the other. Okay. What's the matter with you people?
Well, we're concerned about your pension, but I mean, that wasn't the
Not only mine, everybody's. A lot of Americans have stuff in their 401ks and everything else. You do.
What happened? And Joe does. Happened to the show?
Motion to adjourn?
Yes, agreed. Seconded.
I'm very angry.
Hearing all, adjourn.